Zachary Scott Johnson, a very talented and versatile young musician originally from Racine who now lives in the Twin Cities. He has an exciting YouTube project called A Song a Day. Over the last 2.5 years, he has recorded over 1,000 different songs. Support comes from Carthage College, combining an environment of reflection and self-discovery with a culture of high expectation. More information available at carthage.edu.
Support for WGTD comes from Kenosha Harbor Market, featuring Crane's Kettle Corn, freshly prepared from a secret family recipe. The market is open Saturdays from 9 to 2 on 2nd Avenue and Plaza Way. Online at KenoshaHarborMarket.com.
Support comes from the App Factory at UW Parkside. Is your business or nonprofit in need of a mobile app? Student interns at the App Factory make state-of-the-art and user-friendly apps for phones and other mobile devices. Web applications, too. For more information, visit appfactory.uwp.edu.
This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by John Nicholson, a retired Racine Unified administrator, Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW Parkside, Karen Sconser, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Mike Kehoe, a retired substitute teacher and a current special education support volunteer at Bullen Middle School in Kenosha, and Chuck Wolbers, a transition and work experience teacher in the special education department at Tremper High School, also in Kenosha. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Good morning. I'm Troy McDonald for WGTD. I was given the task this week to go through our Education Matters archives to find a very compelling episode. I dug all the way back to 2007, almost 10 years ago, to find an episode that ironically aired around this same time. It aired June 9th, 2007. Then Education Matters host Terry Lawler, who unfortunately is now deceased, interviewed students from the Racine Unified School District and the Kenosha Unified School District, high school students from both of those districts. We all know that education matters, of course, to the parents of students, to the teachers, the faculty, and the staff, and the school boards that help run these conglomerates. But it matters the most to the students who are experiencing this day in and day out as they try to reach the next chapter of their lives. Enjoy the episode.
Good morning, Kenosha and Racine. This is Education Matters on WGTD, your gateway to classical music and news. I'm your host this week, Terry Lawler. And in the studio with us this week, we're going to have some special people, special in a very special sense, I guess. We asked the Racine Unified and Kenosha Unified districts to find what we termed as their best and brightest, academically gifted, academically successful kids who have every chance in the world of going on to something great in their lives, because I don't think these kind of students get enough press. I think the troubled students get a lot of press and a lot of attention, but sometimes the ones that deserve it don't quite get the recognition. So we're going to talk first, in the first half of the show, with three Kenosha Unified students. We have Deanna Love and Jonathan Jera Almonte from Bradford, and we have Luke Mish from Tremper, and all three of you are very welcome here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
No problem. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about your background, and we'll start with Luke. Luke, obviously all three of you are academically successful. When did it become apparent in your life that this was a path you were going to take, and how much of that was hard work and how much of that was already in you?
Well, I think from the start it was kind of... I guess I just kind of took it for granted. When I was younger, I just did pretty well in school, elementary school and middle school. And only when I got to high school did I have the option of taking the honors and APs or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so at that point, it turned into, well, I've been doing it up until now, and so why not continue? And
I know that I went to college because from the time I could understand what you're going to college meant, my parents kept saying to me, you're going to college. Is that the same situation at home?
Yeah, I guess just more implicit. I don't think they really felt they needed to say it.
Oh, okay. Do you have siblings who
have gone? Yeah, my older sister, Angela, she's going to be a junior next year at UW Oshkosh.
Okay, so how's she doing?
She's doing well, yeah.
Oh, good. You going to try to beat her grade point?
Yeah.
Yes, you should. Jonathan, how about, what's your backstory here?
Well, I always just did good in classes, and I just took classes that I thought would be fun and more better for me. I didn't. When I'm in like a class that doesn't challenge me, I get extremely bored, and it's just not a fun time for me. So if I have to,
they're all nodding their heads. By the way, they're in accord on that one.
So if I have to be in school, I might as well take classes that I enjoy.
Uh-huh.
And especially like when I was able to get ahead in math, I really enjoy that. So it just became more of I chose to because it's better.
And influence at home?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I'm at least third generation college. So
great. Perfect.
All my parents and grandparents, like, they don't even say it. They know I'm going.
Yeah, don't you just love that? And you were also successful in middle school.
For the most part, yeah.
Okay, now, the reason I ask that is because you have a lot of kids who are academically successful in grade school, and they get to middle school, and somehow the net drops away, and they fall, crash, and burn. So we may talk about that later. Deanna, how about you?
I had a bit of a defining moment myself in fourth grade, really. And up till then, I wasn't that interested in academic stuff that much. But I had a teacher named Sister Roseanne. And those nuns will do it for you, definitely.
Oh, sure. What school is this?
Holy Rosary School.
Holy Rosary.
And she really got us involved, and we had a competition going about book reports, and you'd get a little gold star for each book report you did.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I really jumped into that, and since then I've been really kind of academically inclined, and I really enjoy it.
Yeah, all my friends who went to Catholic school said the nuns could really drill stuff into you. I think maybe in a more physical sense 30 or 40 years ago than they do now, but... my friends used to talk about getting the ruler on the knuckles, just, you know, sort of the Blues Brothers kind of thing. Jonathan, a teacher or two that helped you along the way?
In middle school, definitely Mrs. Becker. She was a big influence.
Mm-hmm.
And in high school, there are a lot.
Yeah, I know, and you hate to cut anybody out, so, but...
Especially Mrs. Green and Mrs. Lee.
Uh-huh.
Mrs. Lee ran a lot of the science extracurriculars, so I got to know her pretty well.
Okay.
And Mr. Rogers, definitely.
Okay, great. Luke?
I'd say, just from the get-go, my second grade teacher, Mrs. Walker, over at Roosevelt, because I'd gone to Whittier for kindergarten and first grade, and then went to the enrichment program over at Roosevelt.
Mm-hmm.
And that she just really opened things up, and I just remember... asking her questions about what the answer would be, and just the way she answered was never the answer. It was always figure it out.
Yeah.
But so she really got me to think for myself instead of just asking for answers.
That's very Socratic, you know, answer a question with a question and get the person to where you want them to be. My experience with academically successful students is that they're often involved in other activities. Is that true for you, Deanna? Do you have what are your extracurriculars?
Yeah, I have several activities I'm involved in. I'm really involved in the Future Business Leaders of America. I've been president for 2 years and co-president the year before.
Okay.
And I do a lot of things with my church, and both Jonathan and I are on the Kenosha Academic Skills Challenge.
We're not afraid of religion here, so go ahead and mention your church.
I really enjoy it, and I belong to the youth group and have, like, throughout middle and high school, and we do a lot of community service.
This is still Holy Rosary, right?
Yep,
okay.
Yep. That's my church.
Yeah, that's your church.
And we have a program called Teen Destiny where we go and we do catechism and some more learning type things.
Uh-huh.
So, it's cool.
Luke?
I'm also on the Kenosha Academic Skills Challenge, or Quiz Bowl, as I feel like calling it.
But Bradford won that again this year, didn't they?
Yeah, we don't need to go into that.
Well, I don't want to slight you, Luke, because you are from the school I taught in, but I have to tell you, Bradford, well done. You must be well coached. So go ahead, Luke.
Oh, yeah, really well. Also, football. I've done football for the last 4 years over at Kemper. And student government. The freshman transition coaches, getting the freshmen assimilated in the whole culture.
Are any of you, do any of you play a musical instrument or are in choir? Luke?
Yeah, I play alto saxophone and guitar.
Jonathan?
No, I think our school is very different this year, and both Dan and I don't play any musical.
Right.
Drama, any of that kind of thing?
No.
Okay. Just wondering. Nothing wrong with that. Let's talk about your plans, where you're going to go. We'll start again with Luke. Where are you headed for next
year? I'm going to University of Wisconsin-Madison.
Okay. Why did you choose that school? Other than that's a terrific school, but other specific reasons.
Well, yeah, there were other options, but I think the biggest thing for me was just the vibe of the school. I like the big school feel. I like all the options. I like the not only the academics, but the fact that there's athletics and plenty of social life going on, and I think that that's just, it's a good environment.
Do you have any idea what career you're going to pursue at this point? It's still up in the air, but
I think at this point it's electrical engineering. I think I want to kind of create, actually, like musical equipment, recording stuff, that kind of stuff.
Okay. Jonathan?
I'm also going to University of Wisconsin-Madison.
Ah.
And there were other colleges I was looking at, but Madison just came out to be, like, the best for a variety of reasons.
Okay. And pursuing what?
Mathematics, definitely, possibly physics.
Okay.
With a
eye for
probably teaching mathematics at a college level.
Oh, okay. Wow. I was a math minor, including 15 credits of calculus, none of which I can remember in the least. Deanna?
I'm going to a place called Willamette University.
Where's that?
Out in Salem, Oregon.
Okay.
Quite a ways
Whoa.
Away. Yep. They sent me funny stuff in the mail, and then I found out they were associated with Carthage College, where my dad works, so it was pretty cool.
Okay, and what is the specialty of that school? Does it have is it liberal arts?
It's a liberal arts school. It has a business graduate school attached, which is part of why it appeals. It has a combined degree program where you can get a bachelor's in whatever you want and then an MBA in 5 years. And
that's part of what really appeals. That's a great program, yeah. Usually it takes 5 years just to get the bachelor's degree, especially if you're going into teaching, which none of you, Jonathan's going to teach, but you're going to go up to college level, it's really easy. Because you don't have to deal with behavior problems, you know, things like that. What is it about you that you feel makes you unique? A college not only wants to know why you've chosen it because of what they can offer, but they also are interested in what you bring to them. What do you think you bring with you as a prospective student on a college level, Jonathan?
I think that I bring with me like an interest in many things. Like, I'm plan to participate in a variety of different clubs and activities at Madison.
Mm-hmm.
My brother's pushed me towards a lot of those, especially. He's just graduated with a degree in political science from Madison. He's entering med school there. And also just a genuine interest in what I'm going to be studying, and I really look forward to having research opportunities and working with professors and just becoming a member of both the community, like activity-wise and also academic-wise.
You know, Madison is, like you said, it's just a huge place. Luke, you said you like the big school feel. What kinds of things are you going to be taking to that place?
Kind of the same thing, kind of jump on the bandwagon with the whole well-rounded thing. When I was applying places, a lot of schools said they were looking for more angular students.
I don't understand what that means.
That's just like people that have more of a specialty in one area or another, really musical or really, you know, something like that, and I guess I just didn't fit into that because I kind of like a whole bunch of stuff. And so I like going to Madison. I'm going to like going to Madison, I should say, because just athletics is huge there, and that's really big for me, as well as music and academics, and even within academics, a lot of different interests there. And so I think that that's what I bring, is just kind of like Jonathan was saying, just a general interest in everything and well-rounded kind of a perspective.
Yeah, we already know you have an interesting business, and you're going to a school that specializes in it. What else do you think?
I think part of what I bring is really kind of a passion for things. That's what I try to do, is I try to care about the things I do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested in a lot of things like John and Luke are, but I don't know, I really get involved in whatever I do, especially like with my church and academics. So I think that feeling for what I'm involved in.
What's the emotional thing? I mean, you're still several weeks away from it, but when you think about taking that step, going off to that campus, it really is, I know it sounds cliche, but it really is a huge change. You are now sort of out there on your own. How do you feel about that? Nervous? Excited? Anticipatory? Jonathan?
I'm kind of okay or more used to the feeling, I believe. Like, I've been away from home. Like, all last summer I went away and stayed in the college dorm.
Where was that?
Stanford University.
Oh, Stanford.
Yes.
Out in California?
Yes.
Doing math stuff, no doubt.
And also I'll have my brother staying there for med school, like I said, so I'll have family close by.
Oh, okay.
And I'm met a lot of his friends. I know a lot of people there already, so it's going to be an easy transition, I think, for me.
Yeah. Deanna, nervous, excited?
Kind of both. I really can't wait to get out there. But we really don't have much family out in the other side of the country.
Actually, so it's more like the other side of the planet. Is Salem on the coast?
It's kind of close to the coast, a couple hours drive away.
Oh, like rain?
That's the one thing I was like, I really don't want to be rained on every day.
Well, you know, when you're out there, no, just put my 2 cents worth in, because my wife and I spent part of our honeymoon in Seattle. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the rainforest.
That's I can't
wait. Just go there and drive around. It's sort of like driving into a science fiction movie, because
mm-hmm.
you're in foliage and surroundings that don't look anything like you've ever seen before. It's really, and then they have slugs like, you know, a foot long and stuff like that. That's, you know, disgusting. But how about you, Luke? You seem, you know, anybody who participates in athletics knows that sense of, let me get in there, and is that sort of what you're taking with you?
Yeah, I'm excited to go, but at the same time, kind of like what John said, I kind of it might be a smoother transition. Sometimes we dub UW-Madison Tremper North because
please, there's a zillion people from all over the world.
Yeah. But we know, I mean, there's at least 20 kids that I know really well that are going to be up there. So I know that amidst the 40,000 other people that are up there, I'm going to have some connections that'll make the transition easier. And at the same time, it almost hasn't even hit me that, you know, we just finished up school on Wednesday, and I'm just thinking about the summer right now, and I think when it comes to that bridge, I'll cross it, but I am definitely excited.
Are any of you working this summer?
I'm not sure how many hours a week right now, but yeah, I'll be working.
Okay.
For saving up money for college.
Yeah, well, good luck on that. No?
I don't know yet. I've been thinking about getting a job, but I haven't been actively looking, just trying to get through the last of the school year first.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be working, trying to pull in some full-time hours and hopefully days.
It's been a long time since I've sought teenage employment, but there's got to be some, with all the outlet mall stores and the rest of it, there's got to be plenty of opportunity to get out there and find a decent job. And
definitely.
Yeah, there is. Yeah.
I don't even know what minimum wage is now, but
$6.80 maybe?
Oh.
I mean, not six.
I think it's $6.50 right now.
$6.50 sounds
hopefully.
Right.
Oh, yeah. When I was in college, it was I think it was $2.05.
Oh.
So when I got a job for $3.50 an hour, I was in heaven, you know. Now I'm going to ask you the question that I didn't really allude to before we went on the air. And I want you to talk about, you've all gone to school in this city all your lives, right? I mean, you've been, when did you come here?
No, I came for fourth grade.
Oh.
Before that, I was in Janesville for...
that's where I graduated from high school.
First through third grade. Louisiana for kindergarten.
Okay.
And South Carolina for preschool.
Okay, we can discount those. Well, you've been here most of the time, so fourth grade on, that's 8 years, that's pretty good. I want you to reflect a bit on your school experience itself. What's good about the district? What needs to be improved in the district? What's good about the teaching you saw? What could be better? Take it whichever way you want, and I'm going to start with Luke.
That's kind of a big one, but I don't know. I did thoroughly enjoy it, I think. I think there are a lot of opportunities. Like I said, in elementary school I had the enrichment program, and I think that that's just great, and I think that it probably needs to expand. I don't know where it's at right now, but I know when I took it, there was just Harvey and Roosevelt were the only two magnet schools for that.
Mm-hmm.
So. And I definitely think that there's many more qualified kids. So I do think that that's a good program. And once I moved on to middle school, there was honors programs in middle school. And I just think academically, it is very good. There are plenty of opportunities. The one thing I would like to see more of, I don't know how it is over Bradford, but I know that at Tremper, I feel like there are a lot of AP classes that I know we just probably don't have the funding or the teachers to do right now, but I think that would help kids. But otherwise, I mean, as a whole, Kenosha is great, I mean, for everything, athletics, music, everything.
Great. AP is a budgetary consideration. AP classes, by their very nature, should not be too big in size. But if the district generally has a cutoff number, and if they can't get that number of students to sign up for the class, they won't run it, which is unfortunate. But if it's running at any of the other buildings, you can still take it, you know, right? You can take an AP course at Bradford and vice versa, right? Jonathan, comments on the on your education.
I can't really comment on anything before high school because when I went to Harvey, it was for the internship program, it was like a transitory stage. I had Miss Swanson for 1 year, and then she left, and then we had a temporary teacher for a year. And then for middle school, I went to Pet A Academy, so it's very different from the other middle schools.
Oh, yeah. But you've been around, haven't you?
Yeah. In high school, though, I definitely say there needs to be more an emphasis not on, like, on, not on necessarily, I'm not, don't want to say not on passing kids, but on teaching material better. Like, sometimes you wouldn't, the material's taught, like, it doesn't, it's enough to get by, but not enough to, like, fully understand it for some people, which causes a lot of confusion. I know, especially with, since I took calculus 2 years ago, I've been helping people in calculus for the past year, and what I've seen is that a lot of people, like, the material's taught, but it's so fast that it's taught that it's really hard to understand. And that's not, like, a cut against Mr. Cameron or calculus teacher. It's just like...
No, I was just about to come to their defense. They have...
Yeah.
Math is on a timeline, you know, and with block scheduling... You have traditionally less time with the students over the course of a semester than you do in a standard schedule. So they're trying to beat down the trail to get all that material out, and some, and you're right, some kids do get left behind.
That's what I was getting to, is that I think the way classes are scheduled needs to be rethinked. Because, I mean, block scheduling is nice if you want to, like, take two math classes in 1 year, but it also, when you're in calculus and you spend half the time doing homework in class because there's not enough time to get the next lecture in, but then it just doesn't work that well.
Classes crowded?
Definitely.
Yeah. Definitely?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't probably didn't see the paper this morning, but the district is mulling, trying to push for another comprehensive high school, so.
That'll be a thing to see.
Yeah. You have two educations to compare. You have the you have the Catholic education and the secular. Let's talk about that.
And it's been really interesting because I went to Holy Rosary kindergarten to eighth grade, and then went to high school at Bradford and have been there for 4 years. And I think it's really interesting. I think there are definitely like those behavioral problems you mentioned at the start of the program, and that's one of the things that really frustrated me because you see some of that in a Catholic school, but not nearly to the degree. And it seems that because it's smaller, the administration and the teachers can really get more involved and figure out what's going wrong in these kids' lives, where you don't get that at the public schools as much. So that's definitely a problem. One of my favorite things about Bradford and the KUSD high school system is their YOP program with the youth options classes. I've taken 5 college classes on their money, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And that's one of the really good things I like about it.
Well, in the case of students like you people, YOP money is well spent. there was a time when it wasn't so well spent, but we've addressed those problems from several years ago. We're just about down to the time that I have allotted for the three of you before we bring in the Racine contingency. So any last comment, off the cuff remark, best wishes to?
I don't think so.
No, we're in here for ourselves, dang it, and the rest of them can, you know. Well, listen, all three of you, congratulations on an academic career. Well done. Best of luck in your futures. I hope to read great things about you in Time, Life, Newsweek, or my daily paper somewhere down the line. You all take care.
Thank you.
My next two guests are from the Racine Unified School District. I think I'd like to explain to our audience that this show was taped on two different days. Today is, Wednesday the 6th. And we taped the Kenosha students last week. So my two guests at this part of the show are Matt Harris from Park High School and Brian Casey from Horlick. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Unlike the three guests we had from the Kenosha Unified, these two young men are just going into their senior years next year. So we get a chance to talk to some students with a perspective of 1 year left to go. And Matt, we'll start with you, okay? Have you gone to school your entire life in Racine?
Yes.
Okay. being a good student, as I mentioned with my previous guest, being a good student is a choice. Was it always a realization for you that this was the path you're going to take, that school was something you enjoyed, that you were going to excel at?
Kind of. When I got to around fifth grade, I started having issues in my English class, I believe. And I got my first ever, my only ever D in that class.
Oh, wow.
And my parents, I love theater, and it's something I always do. And my parents told me that if I got grades like that, I wasn't allowed to do theater for the next year. And so I took a year off from theater and got my grades back up. And from then on out, it's been you need to have good grades in order to do what you want to do. So I've always wanted to have good grades, but the priority came as soon as I knew it affected more than just my schoolwork.
Mm-hmm. So. For you, is achieving good? How much of achieving your grades is natural talent, and how much of it is good old-fashioned sweat?
I want to say it's a 75-25 because
which way?
The natural talent 75 uh-huh. because I'm so busy right now with all the stuff I have going on in my life that it. When I actually sit down and study, it takes a lot for me to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I only do that mostly with big tests.
I see.
So,
Brian, the same question to you. Was this always the way it was for you, or did you decide along the way that you were going to take this path?
Probably for me would be around sixth grade. I remember that I was going into a new school, just leaving elementary school, and I'm thinking, wow, this is the big time, not knowing what high school is like yet, and mm-hmm. thinking, I want to be successful. I want to be a good student. So I think my drive really started in sixth grade and just trying to achieve good grades through middle school and then once I got into high school and continuing that.
I don't know if either of you took note, but middle school is a tough time for most students. It's a big transition. Did you find friends falling by the wayside in that period?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah? How about you, man?
Not so much because I was at a private school. I went to a public school, and then I went back to the private school.
Which private school?
St. Ed's.
Okay.
And
we like to give all schools publicity here, private or public.
And St. Ed's goes K through 8th grade, so everybody had been growing together, and it was just kind of like going back to another year,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't stressful for them. So,
you know, I'm a retired English teacher. We haven't talked about our backgrounds very much with each other before the show, but I noticed at least some years ago that the kids that were best grounded in the fundamentals came out of the parochial schools for some reason. I don't know if the nuns beat it into them as rulers, or I don't know if nuns can do that anymore, but it seemed to be the case. Now, you say, Matt, that you're involved with a lot of things. Could you enumerate some of that?
Right now I'm in a production of Gypsy at the Racine Theater Guild, where I'm playing.
Oh, good for you. I've played there myself once and twice.
I'm Tulsa, the lead teenage guy in their show.
Okay.
And I'm the drama club president. It's mostly theater-based. I'm in NHS, National Honor Society, at my school. I have a job at the Shoe Carnival. So
the Shoe Carnival? That's a new one to me. Is that in Racine?
Yeah, it's, I got the job because I get to wear a lime green T-shirt and I get called a carny. So.
You guys got a sale on walking shoes by any chance? I'm in the market. Anything else that you're involved with, as if that weren't enough?
Theater company and all my advanced classes.
You take AP?
Yeah, I'm taking AP classes and CP classes,
okay.
And I'm just mostly that right now, which is a lot on my plate for...
That's a lot on the plate for anyway. But, Brian, I've noticed that when I had students that were my AP students, my advanced composition students, they were all highly involved in other activities. Are you that way, too?
Yes, I am. I'm also involved in NHS, and I'm the vice president of our student class next year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also section leader for my trombone section, both my band and jazz band at Horlick. I also have a job, and also in AP and CP classes, too.
Wow. Which AP classes are you taking next year?
Next year, I will be taking AP Psychology and AP American Government.
Okay, and
I'm taking AP English.
Is that the comp or the lit?
The lit.
That's the one I used to teach.
I'm also taking AP Psych as well, and I'm taking a couple of CP classes, CP English classes,
uh-huh.
And I think that's it.
Wow. Well, gee, is that all? Now, how do you balance all of this in your lives, Brian? I mean, it's an awful lot to do. It doesn't seem like you have enough time in the day to deal with all of this.
Sometimes I don't know. I mean, there are sometimes people exaggerate about, oh, late nights, but I have had those late nights where I've been up until like 1-2 o'clock in the morning still trying to do homework, finishing up a paper, critiquing this or that. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's really not that bad because, believe it or not, some teachers are lenient in some ways where they're like, okay, we get, like for my math, for instance, we get an assignment, we skip a day where we can ask questions the next day, and then it's due the following day. So in essence, we really have 2 days to do an assignment, which isn't bad. So sometimes I do have really late nights, but the majority of the stuff I can get done pretty quickly.
Yeah. I go on a weekly basis. I say, okay, I have to work this day, I have rehearsal this day, so I have 2 hours here to do this and 2 hours here to do that. And my main goal this year has been not to procrastinate. So I just make sure that I evenly spread out my work as best I can, mm-hmm. or my schoolwork as best as I can. And if I don't have time for it, I'd say, hey, listen, is there any way I can go home early from work, or I'll bring it to work and I'll do it on my break. And I just make sure that I always know when my free time is and where my priorities lie.
As I mentioned to my guests earlier in the show, when I was younger than you and your age, I always assumed that I was going to go to college because from the time I was old enough to understand what those words meant, I was told, you're going to college. Is that the way it was in your home too?
Yeah, or pretty is? Much. Both my parents were they weren't like too hard on me to make sure I'm doing what needed to be done, but they were definitely there to support me and help like keep me focused and like, okay, yeah, go do your homework, things like that, just to help keep me drive towards wanting to get into a college and just to get to college, mm-hmm. and through high school.
Matt?
I had a really weird situation because my dad works at the University of Wisconsin Parkside.
Oh, okay.
He's Keith Harris, the theater manager there. So I grew up at college, and I kind of always wanted to go to college just because that's what I had known my whole life.
Mm-hmm. It is kind of heady when you get a taste of it, isn't it?
Yeah, it was always fun to just walk around and hang out with the college students and be like, one day I'm going to be starving just like them. And
yeah, probably, no doubt. Well, as long as we've brought up the topic of college, I'm sure that you've both been thinking about where you'd like to matriculate. Matt, what do you got your eye on?
Four schools right now. Minnesota, the University of Minnesota.
Well, a lot of Wisconsin kids go to Minnesota. One thing is the reciprocity because the fee is same, but is it just to get away from home, or is there something about Minnesota that you really like?
The Minnesota has this program called the Guthrie Theater Program, and they do a nationwide search. They go to 4 cities, and all the actors and actresses who want to get in the program come out, and they pick 20 kids, and you grow as a unit. And one of my goals is that's one of the main programs I want to try and get into, which is extremely hard, and I'm starting now to build up to that. But
yeah, the Guthrie's a very famous program.
Oh, yeah. So,
have you ever seen anything on their stage?
No, I haven't. I've just heard amazing things about them, and I've researched them a little bit. And mm-hmm. I want to get the background before I just jump into the college world.
So that would be the first choice.
Yes.
What are the others you're looking at?
The next one is Green Bay, because I've been told by a lot of my former directors that Green Bay has an amazing program, and
you have to be a Packer fan to live in Green Bay.
I know.
I was brought up in Green Bay. I was raised there. So if you're not a Packer fan, you get beat up all the time.
Well, my mom's taught me good then. So.
Okay, so Green Bay, I didn't know Green Bay had a good, I know that some of their sports programs were Division I, but I didn't realize they had a good theater program.
I didn't either, but Dean Yonks at Parkside sat me down and said, listen, if I had a kid and he wanted to go to any college program, I would tell him to go here.
Wow.
And he used to be a recruiter for Whitewater for their theater program.
That's my alma mater.
So it was one of those where once I heard that from him, I've been researching a little more, and it's been an interest since.
Okay, so Minnesota, Green Bay.
DePaul and Viterbo.
For the same reasons, theater? Yeah,
theater.
Well, you know, you've got good grades, and you're probably going to continue to do so. It shouldn't be that difficult to get into Minnesota, should it?
It's not.
But difficult to get into
the
program.
The program's the hard part, not the college necessarily.
Are you going to have to audition?
All the theater programs I want to get into now are audition basis. You come in with 3 monologues, you do them, they like you, you're in. So it's a little bit difficult, but more difficult than that, but still.
Yeah, there's a long monologue in The Iceman Cometh by Eugene O'Neill, by the guy who's find out he murdered his wife. Are you familiar with the play? He's got a long monologue there. You just take a chunk of that, and it's a beautiful piece, and I'm giving you advice on the air when we should be talking about other things. Brian, what about you?
Well, I would like to attend the University of Wisconsin-Madison, possibly that, or Ohio State, and then maybe either Georgetown, too, something like that.
Georgetown, and pursuing what?
Political science and government, something that route.
Ooh, then Georgetown, maybe.
Exactly.
You'll be in the middle of the fray there, yeah. Right?
It'd be really cool, because actually I'm going out to D.C. this summer for a week, and hopefully when I'm out there I can visit some of the schools that are in the D.C. area.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be nice to get a tour or something like that.
A friend of mine attended Georgetown and took an accounting degree, and she just had nothing but wonderful things to say about it. Now, tuition. and without delving into your family's private finances, these places aren't cheap. Are you looking for scholarships and grants?
Most definitely.
Yeah. The application process, I would imagine, for you guys is going to start soon, isn't it?
Mm-hmm, probably.
Uh-huh.
You got to look into that.
I have to look into that. Okay, we're one short year away. And was it you that said something about procrastination?
Yeah.
Are the grants available for you?
There's a couple. Some schools do offer theater program or the theater scholarship, mm-hmm. but mostly it's I'm going to be writing a lot of essays next year for a lot of scholarships, and
mm-hmm.
I'm just hoping. My mom is great with financial stuff. She is an accountant and such, so she is sitting me down in the next couple of weeks, and we're going to figure everything out.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, now's the time to do it. I mean, they talk about some kids get early apps in, you know, before the new year, right?
Oh,
you
yeah.
try to get them in by Christmas and
oh,
stuff
yeah.
like
mm-hmm.
that. And when you and earlier you apply, I understand the better chance you have of getting an acceptance. Well, so you want to go to these schools because they offer some things that you want. What are you going to bring to their table when you go? I mean, part of the college experience is not only to absorb what the college can give you, but to give something back. Do you see yourself in that position?
I see myself trying really hard to be in that situation. Since mostly I want to go to college to major for theater, it's that program that I'm going to try and advance as much as I can.
Mm-hmm.
And because theater's been such a passion of mine forever, so I want to grow as a department, and I want to try and be a stronger version of the department so that new majors coming in can see, wow, that's amazing, that's where I want to go to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I hopefully that's with that and continuing with my academics so that everything works out and I don't get kicked out of college or anything.
I highly doubt that would happen. Brian, what about you?
I believe that I'm a very outspoken person, and I believe I'm a very friendly person, and I'm not afraid to talk and things like that. And I want to go into possibly something with the government or in history and something like that, because I have a love for history, and I just feel that I could bring my knowledge of just different perspectives to things like that, and hopefully one day do an internship somewhere at some kind of governmental building or something like that. And I think that'd be really cool, and I could really bring a new perspective to something like that.
Have you considered continuing to play your instrument in college as part of the curriculum?
I would like to. I don't necessarily want to major with playing that, but I would still want to play either in a community band type thing or something at the school.
Mm-hmm. Pep band or
exactly.
if you can
something
get into
like
something
that.
Like that. Does the thought of these huge campuses daunt either of you? I mean, I've known some. It's kind of ironic that oftentimes students who are highly successful and highly visible on the high school level and pretty much own that world go off to a huge campus and find that I'm nobody in the middle of 20,000 students or 25,000 students. Have you thought about that?
I did, but to me that's kind of cool. I mean, because I visited Ohio State over my spring break, and I
mm-hmm.
went there, and the place is huge, and there's people everywhere.
Yeah.
And this was when I think they were still on their spring break, too, and there's still a lot of people there. And I just think that'd be really cool, because I visited small schools, and I've also visited a couple of big schools, such as Ohio State, and I just like the atmosphere of having a lot of people around you and all that kind of stuff. I don't think it'd really freak me out too much, thinking, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? I don't think it'd be that's not a huge issue for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, well, I find it kind of like a challenge, because I want to eventually one day move to New York, and I've gone to New York several times, and that's a huge city, and there's hundreds and hundreds of people there. And so it's almost like a challenge to go someplace completely new and have this big area, and you have to figure out your own way around. And I'm going to have to do that later in life when I move to New York, so I might as well start now on a somewhat smaller scale and just try and figure things out by myself.
You know, it's occurred to me that both of you are going to pursue fields in which you must possess an incredibly strong sense of self-worth and ego, particularly you, Matt. I mean, I have friends who have pursued acting careers, and you have to put up with rejection a lot. Have you thought about that?
I have. It was one of the main things that's crossed my mind. And after a while, I've read books and like memoirs of people who have been actors, and they said after a while, the rejection isn't as hard. It's the first couple times, and hopefully that's true. And we'll see. I've always wanted that background for theater. And they say once you go into theater that if you want to leave theater to, like, be a car salesman, for example, you know how to sell yourself to people. And at least if I don't make it, which hopefully I will, at least I know how to sell myself and give a presence where people would want to talk to me and hire me in other situations.
Mm-hmm. And Brian, I mean, if you ever plan to run for office, there's always the possibility that you'll be defeated.
Yeah, there is.
Have you thought about that?
A little bit, but I don't necessarily know if I want to be running for anything, because when you think of government, a lot of people think of, oh, there's the senators, the congressmen, and the president, or you think like that, but there's so many other different things you can do inside government, whether it could even go into being a teacher of some sort, or just being some kind of assistant, or...
Please don't say lobbyist.
I don't know if I'd want to be one of them.
You still have a full year of high school to go, and I'm sure you're going to have some teachers that are exemplary, but can, at the risk... with the other group of kids, well, there's so many, I don't want to cut anybody out. Can you pick two or three that have been most influential for you all along the way? We'll start with Matt.
The first one that comes to mind is my Shakespeare teacher, who I had this year, Matt Geisler.
Mm-hmm.
His class is just that fun class that every morning you go to the class and you want to learn, and it was the class that you came to school for every day. And it was honestly just one of the best, most fun high school experiences I've had.
Yeah, learning can be fun, contrary to popular belief.
And the other one is my biology teacher, Miss Oliver, who retired last year, and I think she's at Carthage now. I'm not sure.
Probably as an adjunct or
something. But she was just one of those teachers where she was fun but strict, and you would go and you get your work done, and she just taught you and she worked with you, and she taught. She's one of the people that pushed don't procrastinate on us, and I've taken it away from me. So those are my two top teachers.
Right.
It would be hard to pick just a couple, but I would have to say the number one would be Mrs. Carrie Sett. She is the AP World History teacher at Horlick, and she also teaches, like, U.S. history and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just one of those teachers that has a passion for what she does, and she can portray that so greatly with her students, and she has a drive for what she does and to make sure that her kids get it. And she'll stop and be like, you need help, and go on a one-on-one basis. And she formed a relationship with her students that you won't get from a lot of teachers. And it's just amazing of what she does and how committed she is to her job and all the other students and everything that she can do. Like, for instance, one of the things that she did for me was she gave me, if she finds different scholarship options or things like that, she'll give those to me, and so I have a chance to find new scholarships that she gets through the history department that not everyone might have a chance to have.
Mm-hmm.
And another one would probably be Mr. Brian Bassler. He's the chemistry and AP chemistry teacher at Horlick, and he's just one of those funny, crazy science teachers who is just...
I had one or two of those.
Yeah. Makes class fun, and he's got a sense of humor, and he's you do the work, but he's also a lot of fun, and he can make lessons plans interesting to you and just make you have a really great time.
I just remember my chemistry teacher at Madison West, Mr. Osnes, boy, I can remember that name, and that's a long time ago. We were doing something in class one time, and he was using mercury. And I guess you shouldn't wear gold jewelry when you're handling mercury, because the mercury amalgamates with the gold and makes it. And he was doing something up there, and we heard him. He swore back in the 60s, teachers, you know, damn. And we all looked up, and he said, I've amalgamated my wedding ring. This is the third one. My wife's going to kill me. And we were cracking up because it was such a human thing for him to do. Boy, I wish we had more time. We're down to a couple of minutes. I'll ask you a toughie. You've obviously both made the most of your school years in the public and the private schools. If there was one thing that you wish your school would do better, what would it be?
Oh, wow.
I'm trying to fill the silence here while they think.
I definitely have to say I wish my school is a little bit more supportive of our arts department. We won state last year, and that was the big thing, and it was amazing and fun, but that's where most of our focus is our football team and our other...
Athletics is a big deal.
It is, and I'm not knocking it at all because the football games are fun and everything, but it's just sometimes the arts department feels a little left out. So you wish we would just have a little more support from the student body.
Ooh, transfer down to Bradford. They got a huge...
Oh, I would love to. I love Bradford.
Ryan?
I would probably have to go somewhere with the same way, because he's in theater arts while I'm in music arts. Mm-hmm. And I feel some of the same things where it always doesn't seem that the money we get is distributed evenly. And it would be nice to see funds go to everything, including different types of clubs, music, theater, and sports.
Well, Matt, Brian, I wish you both the best of luck this coming year.
Thank you.
Maybe